Hey everyone, check out this new film on Amazon Prime called Eight Remains. It's free to all Prime members.
Hey, we're back with another episode of 20 Minutes with Chad. Chad, what's up?
Nothing much, just chilling, listening to the rain in LA, where it never rains.
Yeah, let's start there. Doesn't ever rain in L.A. Everything I read about L.A., being a Canadian, which we all know I am, it's forest fires, entertainment.
Forest fires, Santa Ana winds, that's about it, horrible traffic.
And now you have rain.
Yeah, we actually have rain. It rained since last night, and actually our L.A. River is flowing, which is really funny. Because if you're from L.A., L.A. River is just like a cement barrier type thing. It's just like nothing. And when it rains, it actually flows. There's an actual river. They call it L.A. River. Yeah, it's...
I'm going to ask a stupid question. Is that where they filmed Grease?
Probably did film there. A lot of movies film in the L.A. River.
Because when you see Grease, they have that car chase. Maybe they have the wrong film.
It might be. Like, a lot of people use the L.A. River for, like, chase sequences and stuff.
Yeah.
It's always empty. So, probably...
Now, why haven't you ever filmed in the L.A. River then?
Because you have to have film permits, and they'll arrest you and take your camera and give you tickets and all that fun jazz.
So let's start there. Have you ever been on a project that's been raided?
Because all the projects I've been on have film permits. People pay the money and actually pay like the hella money to do it because you have to have – there's a thing called Film LA, which is the biggest joke ever. They're a nonprofit, and they ask for if you want to get permits, you have to go through them. And they offer you their film permits are $600 a day. And then after that, you actually have to get a production insurance, which most people always get production insurance no matter what. But you actually also have to have workers' comp, which is another $900. This other insurance they want you to have, which is $1,200. And then that's not mentioning the personal protection insurance you need. So you're paying them basically $1,200, $900, $600 out of those three things. And then you have to pay for the person to audit it because you have an auditor on your set the whole day, basically watching if you follow all the rules and stuff. Basically eating all your food and everything, too, which that's what I always call it. Like, just sit down and eat your food the whole time, watching, make sure everything's going on. But, yeah, and that's not even, like, talking about location fees and stuff. They go through, like, the locations. Yeah, so it's like a basic ripoff. That's why no one shoots in L.A. no more. That's why, like, people on my Twitter, like Joe Carnahan and, like, Joe Lynch and all these people, like, big-name directors, talking about shooting in Pennsylvania and Georgia and Mississippi and Louisiana, Texas, New Mexico are really big. Even Nevada is getting bigger now, where people are just like, oh, we'll just build sets out there in green screens because it's cheaper. So a lot of people are, like, not shooting in L.A. That's why when people tell me, like, oh, yeah, I want to move to L.A., I'm like, don't move to L.A. because the businesses here and investors and stuff, they're not going to give you all the money you're talking about you want to get because people I know who've done million-dollar budget movies, like actual directors who have track records, they can't even get $500,000 now. So it's like because the equipment's getting cheaper and everything, and everyone wants everything to be cheap, 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 cheap. So I just kind of start laughing. That's why I always say indie film is dead. I'm like, there's no such thing as indie film. It's all a bunch of hipsters using that label like, we're indie. Yeah, but you're trying to make a film for a company that's a company of a company of a company that's owned by a studio. Yeah, that's really independent. Yeah, good for you. Like, now go get a haircut and shave your beard, you dirty hippie. So it's just like a crack up where everybody's like, oh, yeah, we're true independent filmmakers. Oh, you're raising money on crowdfunding, which is just your friends and family. Okay, good job. Why not just go there and ask your mom for $20? It's like, geez. Like, I know that sounds really vicious, but facetious, but it's just like, that's what it is. It's like, it's not independent. You're basically an entrepreneur. Like, call yourself and actually what you are. You're an entrepreneur who's doing from everything from the ground up to the end. You need to know how to develop, how to do pre-production. You have production, post-production, exhibition, distribution. Like, you can make your own website to stream your own films now. You don't need Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon. I'm like, yeah, that's like the big goal to get. Like me, like, I don't like calling myself a filmmaker anymore. I just call myself a content creator. It's basically because I write, direct, produce over multiple platforms. Like, as I see it, as a filmmaker, I think of Scorsese, Spielberg, Lucas, Francis Ford Coppola, Michael Bay. These people have done films in theaters, cinemas, sometimes bigger things. I'm not going out to doing theaters. I'm doing online. I'm doing streaming. I'm doing television. That's podcasting, photography. That's low-end stuff. I don't consider myself a filmmaker. I just call myself a content creator. Now, when I become like a Hollywood director, I'd be like, I'm a Hollywood director. Because that's my goal. I don't want to be an indie filmmaker. Like, I have friends who want to do that. That's cool. If you want to be like Robert Rodriguez, who was one of the lucky few that actually was successful as an indie filmmaker, go ahead. Best to you. I bet he sits there and be like, don't do it. Don't do it. Sell shoes. But, yeah.
So recently you posted that Starbucks is not allowing people to watch porn on their Wi-Fi.
Yep. I read that and I started laughing because I'm like, let's see how to get ready with that. There's things called proxies that's so easy, like get around with that so easily. I'm like, and two of my friends, when that popped up, two of my friends tagged me on that too. And I was like, you assholes. I'm like, really? Like, hey, Chad, I guess you have to find a new coffee shop. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, I need to find a new coffee shop, huh? I don't even go there. I use even the internet usually. I just go there and turn off all my stuff and write. Like, I just like hide. It keeps me out of my apartment, I guess, or my own personal space. But yeah, I was like, but all my friends, like, I told one of my friends, like, oh yeah, proxies, like, oh, you've done this before, Chad. I'm like, well, one of my day jobs has Wi-Fi and blocks all certain sites, and I work with a bunch of kids, so we're like having a bet to see if we get to like sites we can't get on using proxies. And of course, I got through it because I'm older. I'm like, I figured it out like in 5 minutes. They're like, oh, you could do that? I'm like, yeah. Called Proxy Ninja, proxyninja.com. But yeah, so just like do that. People are like, oh my god, it's so bad.
So let's go back to the Starbucks thing. You're on holidays, mm-hmm. and you posted a photo about 7 a.m. my time, so it must have been about 4 a.m. your time.
Oh yeah, it was early. Yeah, like for some, because my sleep pattern was thrown off on my vacation. So I was waking up like 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock, going to Starbucks trying to write. Because I'm like, I actually have to have routine because I usually hear, when I'm at my own place, I usually wake up about 5:36, and I usually walk like half a mile, go to Starbucks, do some writing, then I walk another 3 miles just to get that thing. Well, I'm in the suburbs, so everything's in distance, so I have to drive everywhere. So I'm like, okay, I can't walk somewhere, and it was raining too. I'm like, all right. So I got to drive to a Starbucks and have that routine where I'm still writing because I have to keep that going, because when I come back, I'm like, I don't have holiday brain mush where I'm just like, I can't write anything. That's why I was doing so many errands this week where before work, I just wanted to have like some structure going on. Like, okay, I need to get this, and this done. So my brain remembers like, okay, we're still working. But yeah, I was waking up like 3:34 in the morning, and like my mom's boyfriend's dad, who wakes up around that time, is like, what time do you go to coffee? So smoking a cigarette, watching me like, what the hell? But yeah, because it's like suburbs where like Starbucks doesn't open until like 4:30, 5 o'clock over there. Where in L.A., they open at 4. So like some places in the suburbs, they open at 5. I think I wait till 5 one day. Because it opened at 5. But usually they open like at 4 o'clock down here. Up there at 5 o'clock. Because normal people don't have to wake up that early.
Now, you know I'm going to have to ask. What were we drinking at Starbucks? Coffee? The stupid tea you drink? Whatever.
I drink dark roast usually. Or I drink espresso. That's what I usually drink right now. Because I can't do a lot of the things like lattes and stuff anymore. Because I can't hang with milk. I'm lactose intolerant. So I try to use soy. Doesn't taste the same. Even though I also do almond milk a lot. that's what I usually drink is the almond milk, but the Starbucks almond milk is not the same. It does not taste good at all. Because almond milk actually tastes really good. Like, it really, really good. And theirs does not taste good at all. So I'm like, okay, I try soy, and I was just like, so it's better than almond milk they had. So, but that's what I usually drink is a dark roast. Sometimes I don't even drink, like, depending on my mood, if I don't feel good, or if I'm just annoyed and my anxiety's kicking in, which a lot of times, like in my vacation, I had one day I had my anxiety kicked in. Like I woke up like 2:30 in the morning cleaning the house, where I was just like, okay, I need to get coffee. Where I just drink black, it's just all black. So I'm a real man. I'm a writer.
So you discuss your writer. You have piles of scripts, you say. Has this guy you know that hates coffee ever made it into one of your scripts?
Guy who hates coffee? Not really. Like, I really don't talk about coffee in my scripts. Like, I'm like, I write some really weird horror stuff, and then I do comedy. Like I've been focusing on, like, shorter form stuff because I have a couple feature scripts, but I'm just, like I said, I have this weird thing where I'm really burnt out on film and dealing with all the developers and all the... Because down here, how you do it, and a lot of people don't know, you have to have either an agent or a manager or a lawyer contact the production companies that usually have development deals with studios. Because everyone goes, oh, I'm sending scripts to studios and networks. They don't do that. They're just there to hire you and put it on. They're the business people. You actually have to find and research the production companies that actually have deals with the networks and studios and see if you can work with them to get it developed. So it's kind of like a rat race where it's like in circles and circles and circles. Like, yeah, we love the script. We love your work. Yeah, but there's no financial value. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But it's just like, I don't have a dying interest in doing a feature unless someone hires me as a director. I don't want to write a feature or write or direct a feature. Short form stuff, okay, like short films and stuff. If I feel like I really want to do it, like a passion project or something, I'll do it for fun. But yeah, I just really don't. It's weird. I was like, I don't know if it's just because my brain's just fried on it and it's still like waiting because I've been off since a few months now where I just have no interest right now. I'm just like, to go back to like acting stuff. I do acting stuff. I will do ghostwriting for people. If they ask me for something, like, hey, Chad, I need a joke or something, I'll pay you $20. I'll be like, all right, cool. Write them. I did that for a lot for YouTubers, which I don't get credit for, but I do that for like YouTubers and stuff. And because their shit sucks. They think they're comedians. Like, so certain like people like who have like 6 million listeners or not listeners. Viewers, which cracks me up. I don't know how to write this joke. I'm like, because you suck, that's why. But YouTubers, you're not real artists. see what else? Yeah, I'm like, not really. Like, I kind of have this, like, interest right now. Like, a lot of people start laughing. I really want to do porn. Not act in it, but behind the scenes. Because it'd be a, like, oh, it's an angry Pikachu! I'm like, no, I just tricked. but yeah, so I'm like, I have a lot of friends who are in that business. They're like, cam girls and stuff. And like, oh my God, can you like shoot content for me or something? And I'm like, sure. So I'm kind of like thinking about that too.
Hold on. Like, can we start? I'm a little confused.
Huh.
What is content for a cam girl? Isn't she the content?
Yeah, but they want to make more, like, structured content. Because a lot of times they do all the work. But they want to have legit, like, scenes. So they can send to production companies. Like, oh, look at these scenes. You can purchase. Basically, it's like, what they do is they usually have their, and they're called cam girls, which I don't know why they call them that. But they're actually just, like, they do, like, live videos. But they also shoot scenes that they sell on, like, what was it, Fans Only, or this thing called Minivids, Pornhub, things like that, where you can sell your scenes to them to get money. So you're creating the content, but you're selling it to companies to put up on their sites.
So, I mean, I...
So they want a director who knows what they're doing, so get more money, basically.
So my understanding of a cam girl is it's one person, but obviously it's not. If they're filming scenes, there's another person involved.
And they have tech people behind their thing. That's what's so big. It's all a big illusion. You think it's just them, but it's not. They're always going to have an editor or some tech person there to, like, do all things just in case of – because they're not tech savvy. I'm not saying they're stupid or anything, but a lot of times they don't know what they're doing. There's some people that I know who do their own content where it's just them, and they do all the work. They have their own website. They do all that stuff, but they want to make more money, so they have to do things to make more money. So that's where I'm at, where I'm like, okay, I can make a good percentage out of that. But it's just like, I'm just looking at all my options right now, because like, I'm a director and I'm a content creator where I'm like, I want to do mainstream stuff where I want to do, because I don't see myself doing any Disney films in the near future. So you're not going to see me do Lion King 2, the animation.
I just thought you were going to be in a dancing scene of Mary Poppins. I was just waiting for you to come out.
Not going to happen.
You and Lin-Manuel dancing with Emily Blunt. Perfect.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That happens. Like, I'm watching these holiday movies. Like, yeah, I don't see myself doing Hallmark movies either and stuff. I'd be funny because a lot of people I know who've done B-movies back in the day, they actually do Lifetime movies and Hallmark movies. I start laughing. Like, there's a guy named Fred Olin. He did, like, a lot of, like, nudie B-movies in the 80s and stuff. And, like, what was it, Rolf Kaniski? I think he does stuff, too, now for I think he did, like, Party Bus. I think he directed Party Bus. But he's directed some horror films and stuff, but he does a lot of, like, holiday movies now, too. Yeah, so, like, a lot of people, oh, man, where's Wynoski, I think his name is, how you pronounce it. He does a bunch of stuff. Like, so you have a bunch of, like, B-movie, like, people used to do, like, all these, like, gory, nudie B-movies back in the 80s. They're all now directing, like, because they're old. They're all doing, like, Lifetime movies and Hallmark movies now. Because that's where the money is, apparently. Christmas movies, we need snow and a fake Santa Claus. Let's do it. Sounds like I'm playing. But, yeah, so that's what they do. Yeah, it's just, like, I do have a lot of scripts. That's what I want to do. Like, I'm, like, I want to think about that. But photography, I'm, like, really looking into because I like doing weird, like, Larry Clark weird stuff where it's like I like industrial looking stuff, like documentary style stuff, and also I could do headshots and stuff to like earn extra money. Like I kind of like doing landscape type things and stuff like that as a photographer. I'm really artsy fartsy when it comes to that. Even my mom goes like, oh, that's kind of artsy fartsy, because my movies aren't artsy fartsy, my comedy not artsy fartsy, but when people see my photography they're looking at me like, okay, that's artsy fartsy, but what happened in the progress? It's like moving images. That's why. So yeah, that's from photography. Can't think what else.
When are you gonna make a decision on the whole camming thing?
The what?
Are you gonna make a decision soon on the camming, being a cam person?
I don't know yet. I'm like I haven't really thought about it. Like it's like on the back burner. But I don't have my own equipment, so I'm kind of like, that's a big thing where I'm like, like, I'm not going to pay someone to crew on it. It's kind of weird because it's like, it beats the whole purpose. Like, my main thing right now, like I made a list of, like, mandatory goals, important goals, and the minor goals. And, like, my mandatory one is more focusing on my one-man show, and it's, like, two characters are based off on a one-man show. And then podcasting is my minor one. Minor one is podcasting and photography. And that's actually the important one, I guess that. And then my minor goals are probably like either making a film, writing, stuff like that. Because that's right now where it's not my concern. I'm just like, okay, I'd rather do live performance stuff right now. Because I feel like my comedy's writing is getting a lot better. My performing is kind of getting better. So I'm like, might want to do that a little more. Sorry, someone called me right now. I'm trying to see who called me.
I don't care.
Because like, oh, Chaz, Mr. Hollywood.
Hey, guess what?
Huh?
You're out of time.
Oh, am I?
Get lost.
All right. I'm out of here.
Bye.